A couple of the songs this morning really hit home with what we're going to be talking about. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? We're going to talk about that this morning. And who is that? Jesus, that's right. And then, I am who you say I am. That is such an important concept, because most of us are very hard on ourselves, and Satan wants us to think we're dirt, you know, and that we're not worth anything. And we're not worth anything except for Jesus, right? And he has saved us, and we need to be all about who he says that we are. So I love that song. Well, 2 weeks ago we talked about wisdom. I don't expect anybody to remember, but I have notes, so I know we did. And we talked about the value of wisdom. We talked about how to seek wisdom, and then how to test our wisdom against Scripture to know that it's not something that we're coming up with, that it's something that God's giving us. And we kind of tried to approach it from how does a Christian in today's society live and be wise and have wisdom from above. This week, I wasn't gutsy enough to talk about money, so we're going to talk about sin. You know, it's the second of the third rail or something like that. No, I'm kidding. I'd love to talk about money sometime. But we're going to talk about sin, but from that same kind of perspective, how do we as Christian people approach sin? Sin in our lives, and what does the Bible say about how we live and deal with that? So Clay and I have a Sunday school class, and we've been going through Romans, so I had to give my class a disclaimer that a lot of what we're talking about this morning is coming right out of where we've been in Romans in Sunday school. Not completely because I'm lazy, but really because we have had some wonderful discussions, and we need to hear this stuff and know this stuff, I believe. So the purpose today is not to send you home feeling guilty about sin. I don't want you to go home saying, I got to just try harder and have more willpower and you know, stop doing whatever it is or start doing whatever it is. That's not the purpose at all, because that's really not what Scripture teaches. You know, there's more to it than that. So if you go home feeling guilty, I'm sorry, that wasn't my purpose in doing this. So, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture today. I gave poor Andre a list, and he looked at it and said, wow, that's a lot of Scripture, but it is. So we're going to start in Romans chapter 6, and verse 6 is what's going to be up on the board here. So previous to this, Paul is talking about the law and grace and sin and grace. And I'm going to read a little before even 6 here. It says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? You know, the idea that as we sin, God forgives us, there's grace, and so, hey, we can do whatever we want to do, right? Yep. Nope. Verse 2, you're right, Mark. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So we who died to sin, who is that we?
Me and
you. Me and you. And why is that? Why do we get to be that we? Because of Christ. So as we go through these verses in Romans, setting the stage for kind of how to deal with this, this is written to believers, okay? Now, if you're not a believer, this is a great time to catch the benefits and decide that you want to turn to Jesus. Let's do that and get you baptized sometime in August. But this is written to believers. So that's the we who are there. Going on before we get down to the one that's on the board there. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now verse 6, you can see up on the board there. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Okay? He introduces this concept of the old self, who we were before we were saved, right? We know that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, all things have become new, right? That moment of salvation, we change. We change from being a sinner to being a saint. We change our identity, right? And so he introduces this concept here of the old man that we're putting off. All right. So the most challenging thing about preaching out of this area is all of it is so incredibly important and good, but we don't have all day. So we're going to pick and choose some verses here. So Romans chapter 8, which should be the next one on the list there, verses 1 and 2. This is a verse that many of us have memorized. So there is, and just think about what good news this is. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Okay, we're in Christ. There's no condemnation. We are not judged because Jesus paid our price. We've been pardoned. Excellent. So the New King James translates that in Christ Jesus translates it as, those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? You're in Christ if you're doing those things. I'm going to go down to verse 5, which I don't think you have there, Andre, and that's okay. Oh, you do. 8, 5 through 10. It says, for those who are according to the flesh, think about that New King James translation. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For this mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, it does not subject itself to the law of God, is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you, the we of us who is saved and have turned to Christ, however, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So that whole concept of seeking after God, seeking after the Spirit, versus seeking after the flesh. All right. So just a little further along there, Romans 8, 13 through 15. We're kind of just setting some foundational truths here, you guys. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, for me personally, I think that that word putting there is extremely important. It does not say you have put to death, you've already got rid of it all, it's all done. It is putting to death. It's that process daily of dying to the old self, right? And living to the new self, if you will. And I think it's wonderful that it's a process because we need time to do that. So, living according to the flesh, you must die, but by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba Father. What in the world does Abba Father mean? And we have a modern day translation that they, you know, I've always heard it translated as something like daddy, you know, that term of endearment from a child. My daughter Grace is, I don't know, 30-something, 33, maybe, something like that. And I'm terrible about those things. I know Dan's 40 because we celebrated his birthday at Silver Lake yesterday. So you can all remind him that he's 40 when you see him next. But Grace is 30-something, and, you know, she spent 4 years in the Navy. She's got 3 kids and a wonderful husband, and she's a pretty successful real estate agent. Sometimes she still calls me daddy, and that makes me very happy. Not as much as she did when she was 3, but, you know. It's a term of endearment. It's a familiar term. So we haven't received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, daddy, if you will. If that's a term of endearment in your family. All right, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Verses 18 through 21. This sort of stood out to me. Many of us have read and maybe memorized the I have been crucified with Christ part, and we'll get to that. But the background here is Peter and the Christian group that he was a part of. Peter's been very open with the Gentile Christians. You know, he's a Jewish Christian, of course, and he eats with them, which was a big deal because Jews don't eat with Gentiles and they don't, you know, associate with Gentiles. But because they're all one in Christ, they're all one in Christ, right? And then James shows up with some Jewish Christians, Messianic Christians, some people call them, and they don't want to eat with the Gentiles. And pretty soon Peter is kind of hanging out with them, and it's not good. So Paul comes onto the scene, and he calls Peter on it. This isn't right. You know, you are saved just like they're saved. You're all in Christ. That stuff doesn't matter anymore. And then in 18, so that's what Paul has been talking about. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Do we sometimes go back to old habits? Boy, do we, you know? If you have an anger problem, and you're working on that, and you're turning that over to the Lord, and it's getting better, but then something awful happens, boom, you go back to just what was familiar, right? You've probably heard me say that I come from a family of professional worriers, you know? I fight against being a worrier. I hate worry because I come from that background. But sometimes you fall right back into that trap again. You know, and here I am, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And, you know, that's no place to be. So once we put something behind us, we don't want to rebuild it. And that's what spoke to me in verse 18. Going on, for through the law, I died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now have in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. That idea again, been crucified with Christ, been changed, new. We don't have to live in those things anymore. All right, so that's some foundational stuff. We're no longer slaves to sin, right? Our old self has been crucified with Christ. No condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. and we're adopted as sons and daughters, right? What does it mean when you adopt a child? What are you doing? Big responsibility. Did that responsibility just get thrown at you? You made a choice, didn't you? You made a choice. You made a choice that I'm going to take this kid and raise him as my own and bring him into the family and the whole bit. It's a wonderful thing that we're adopted into God's family. He chose us. All right. So now we want to kind of bring this to how we move forward with it. And we're going to turn into Colossians, and we're going to turn to chapter 3. Ooh, there's a lot of little print up there. Hope you guys can see that. So in my Bible, chapter 3 is subtitled, Put on the New Self. That idea that we were talking about of putting off that, I think of it like an ugly old smelly trench coat, you know, that was in the water for too long and stinks. You put off that old self, that old garment, and you put on a nice clean new something, nice clean new coat. So this starts off, and I want you to think about how this really echoes what Paul was writing in Romans, what he wrote to the Colossians. If then you have been raised up with Christ, so there's that, are you a believer? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you been raised up with Christ? If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Okay? That's new self stuff. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, echoing back to just where we were in Romans. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I don't know where I got that. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. So that's the old stuff. That's what we want to get rid of, right? We want to avoid these things. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which is idolatry. So if we go down to verse 12, we're going to see what we want to put on. Okay? Again, echoes back to Romans. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, did you realize that's your identity? Somebody should smile about that. We're chosen of God, holy and beloved. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I think we can all look at that list and find something that challenges us. I was telling Dan yesterday at the lake as we were relaxing in the shade, you know, and really not doing much of anything. I said, it really is hard to just sit here and not do anything. I really like it, but I'm not good at it anymore. And I have found, because my life is very rushed right now, that I get impatient about the stupidest things. I'll be standing in the kitchen wanting to go to the living room, and Lori's got the refrigerator door open getting something out, and I'm like, I don't have to go to the living room right now, but it drives me crazy. Sorry, honey. But I wait there as patiently as I can, and it's just dumb. I'm getting old and cranky, yes. Whoever said that, you're right on the money. So I don't know what that has to do with anything. But so we're putting on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We're bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, oh boy, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Those just as verses are challenging, aren't they? How did the Lord forgive you?
Freely.
What's that?
Freely.
Freely. Okay. Completely. What does he say he does with our sin? Separates it from us as far as the east is from the west and remembers it no more. Have you ever forgiven anybody like that? Yeah? It's a challenge, isn't it? Humility, exactly. And remember it no more. The other just as verse that always comes to my mind is, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church. Now, how in the world is a person supposed to do that, right? That's a challenge. So is this. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That word let is so powerful. Jesus wants to bless us, right? He wants us to have peace in our hearts. He wants us on and on and on. And we get in the way. It's not that he gets in the way. We need to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts because he called us to that. Right there it says that. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed. That sounds like everything that we need to do as to God. All right. Let's see what I missed here. So that all sounds kind of nice and put it in a little box and tie up the bow and, you know, we're forgiven, we're no longer slaves to sin, we've died to sin, we're alive to Christ. Piece of cake, right? Is that how it works out in life? I see brave people shaking their heads. That's right. It doesn't all work out that way. And why is that? I mean, are those things that we just talked about, are they not actually true? Was God sort of saying, you know, it'd be nice if this were the case? Are we really dead to sin? Are we really no longer slaves to sin? It's absolutely true, isn't it? Problem is that thing that's dead behind us, we sort of turn into a zombie, right? Sort of a half-dead to sin, sort of this ugly thing that's still there that we turn around and look at and flirt with every now and then, you know, or maybe more than every now and then. Again, it's us getting in the way. Christ did it once and for all. We're dead to sin. But we get in the way. So Romans 7, 14 through 25. Lest we think we are the only ones that struggle with this, we are not. So this is, I've been reading out New American Standard. Excuse me, this is New Living, because the language is really hard to understand in this version, and it's the same thing. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. That human part is a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
That would be me. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not just out there going crazy doing whatever I know it's wrong, I'm upset with myself that I did it. I don't want to do it again, but it's there. This shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. Translate that to that old man that we're putting away as we put on the new man. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And then there should be a little bit more there. Nope, I'll read out of this one then. So verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. That's Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote most of the New Testament, you know, this valiant warrior for Christ. And he is being just incredibly honest there about his struggle with sin, right? But what does he end with? He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the key. I have every confidence that Paul made steady progress against his sinful nature and more put off the old and put on the new. We're not done with that, by the way, until we die and go to heaven and don't have to worry about it anymore. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what verse comes next? We already read it once today. Very next thing that Paul writes after that honest confession of sin, very next verse is, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's pretty cool. Thanks be to God, no condemnation, right together. All right. I'm going to go off script a little bit here, Andre, and go to James chapter 4. Wasn't sure how time would be going by this point, but so James in chapter 4 is talking about things to avoid, quarrels and conflicts that cause us all kinds of problems. Friendship with the world is hostility toward God, he says in verse 4. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's that sin struggle, isn't it, right there? Then he says, lest we think this is an easy process, he says, or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He, being God, jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. He wants us to be in relationship with him. Jealously desires. And when we put up roadblocks, that's grieving the Holy Spirit, I think would be the right definition. When we put up roadblocks, we're getting in the way of that. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And here's what he tells us to do. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. That doesn't sound like much fun. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and what? He will exalt you. Paul does all that confessing, and he says, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, because that's the solution to that problem. James says, sin's a big deal. Be serious about it. Know that it's wrong. Mourn that you're doing these things. But then, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So I said in the beginning, I didn't want you to go home feeling guilty, like, you know, I've got to do all this stuff better. I want you to go home knowing, yeah, you got to do that stuff better, but Christ is the way that you do that. And you're not going to make it with self-will. That's not the word I was looking for. You're not going to make it by just trying harder. Self-propulsion. Self-propulsion, okay? That's not the word I was looking for either, but it's a good one. All right. So we've talked about sin. We've talked about being dead to sin. Old man, new man, putting off the old, putting on the new. Talked about that it's a struggle. Let's end with some good news. Go back to Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. Again, verses that probably many people know. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news, isn't it? We struggle our way through life. That's good news. And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Is that one up there too? I have a friend, and we were friends that were very close years ago, and now he's moved five different places around the country and hardly ever talk to him, but his name was Matt. And Matt, neat Christian guy. In fact, he's a pastor now. And it always seemed that Matt just walked straight ahead. He just walked with God, and he was always in the right place. And, you know, I mean, it was honestly annoying because it wasn't me. There's a confession, right? But Matt just seemed to have it all together. And I likened it one time where if we were going down a hill, he would just walk down the hill and skip through the boulders, and I would roll down the hill and I'd hit all the rocks and the logs along the way. We'd both end up at the bottom of the hill at the same point, but I'd be a lot more bruised up than Matt was. But maybe if I do more of this, I will be more Matt-like. I hope so. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read from 1 on. You've got, I guess you have the whole thing up there. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. One more way to say, if you've trusted Jesus, right? And coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. So a picture of Jesus. You also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That just sounds cool. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. That's very clear, isn't it? We talked about that. What we were learning in Romans especially was for believers. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, Jesus. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. Now here's the good news. But you you believers, you who have trusted Christ, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that good? All right. I think that's what I have for today. So why don't we pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we're thankful. We need to be thankful. Lord, you paid the price for our sin. That just is absolutely the truth. And if we are willing to trust you and humble ourselves before you and accept that you have chosen us to be your children and that you want us to be saved and live with you, you will come inside us and live inside us and dwell with us, and you'll help us walk through difficult times and wonderful, fun, glorious times. You'll help us put off the old self and put on the new. You'll help us to get rid of worry and anger and all those things that we read about, Lord, and you'll walk us safely home. And we do need to be thankful for that. Father, may you put in the hearts of all of us today what you want us to learn, and may we learn to trust you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.